really, really, because I love it. I think I stumbled into some joy mechanism at a retreat, you know, just metta, 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 and all of a sudden I just found myself aligned with some vortex of joy. And I want to share how that vortex works and what it is. Because before mudita, my understanding of joy was in relation to my mother. And what I would call her joy was kind of a fake optimism. She was very optimistic and always, you know, seeing the bright side on everything. Drama in the house, but let's see the bright side on everything. Everything's good. It's all good. And she completely, you know, I don't take away from her seeing the bright side, because it really did make for a difficult life much easier because of her constant upbeatness. But there's a way in which we can get so attached to being happy that we don't look at difficulty. So there's a kind of a exuberance with the joy that's not really connected to the reality of the moment, the pain that you may be feeling. So that's one way I saw joy. And then, of course, growing up in the church, most of everyone I knew, joy was how God had blessed them. And so they had some blessing and everybody's happy. And so if you don't have any blessings, or you're like having a little, what would you call it, tiff with God, you're estranged from God, you know, you got a hollow space you got to live in. And I could see that was the, it was either I was getting stuff so I could be happy, or it was this kind of fake pretending I'm happy just so I could get up in the morning. But when I stumbled into this mudita vortex, that is not mudita. That is not even close to mudita. That is going the opposite direction of mudita. Mudita is joy in another person's joy. So, you know, you might think about it. A lot of people have problems with this idea of I got to be happy because you're happy. Like that. It almost feels sort of like my mother's happiness. Or it feels kind of fake. But I'd like to give you another way of looking at it. I believe a better way to think of mudita is borrowing another person's happiness. So if everybody in this room only has two good things that happened to you in your whole life, and we're in October, so November now, so most of us used it all up. And we still got to get all the way through Christmas. We'll have no joy. How are we going to do that? How are we going to hold the rest of the time? And even if you think about it, two opportunities of joy is not very much in life. But if I were to be sad here, you would feel that sadness and you would share in my pain. You would know my sorrow. We're empathetic in that way. And if I were to be truly joyous, you would be joyous with me. And I realized that sympathetic joy, this mudita, is not being happy because someone else had some good thing happen to them. You're happy because you, as a human, can feel the joy that another person has. You can feel it the same way you feel sorrow, the same way you feel, concern, whatever. We can feel friendliness towards another. You can tell when someone's kind to you. You can feel that metta, and we can also feel joy. Well, this is a game changer, because if my feeling joy is not related to what's happening in my life, then if you think of the billions of people on this earth, you can feel joy every moment of the day. There cannot be a moment when joy does not exist in you, because there's not a moment in time that someone somewhere is not feeling joy. This is the vortex I stepped into, and it happened because I love romance. That's the best way I can say it. I love romance. I love people who are in love with each other, and everybody's in love, and it's just love everywhere. But I have had a vow of celibacy since I was 36 years old, like 34, I think it was, when I first started. And it became real when I was 36. And yet I love romance. I love movies and hearing people and friends that are dating people and just the whole blossoming, the whole thing. And on this retreat, I was walking around this loop here, and I thought about people who are in love. I was just walking around the loop, and I thought, oh, I bet you somebody's asking somebody to marry him. And of course, they always say yes in my story. I don't know about other people. It's always yes. Oh, yes, 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 yes. And every time I would think about that, I begin to realize that in any direction I looked, someone was asking someone to marry them. And the level of joy I could feel in that moment was always there. Always, 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 always. It could be, you know, cooking. Somebody's having some moment when they're cooking something and it turns out nice. For my sister, she's like a cook. That's a big deal for her. That joy she is connected to. And I'm sure everyone in here has something that just the thought of it, the thought that someone is enjoying this too, that thought alone can bring you joy. That's what borrowing the joy is. It's not thinking about, oh, I should be happy because somebody's getting a job and I don't have one, but I should be happy because somebody's getting a job somewhere. That is not borrowing joy, because you aren't happy. You aren't feeling the joy of them getting a job. You're feeling your sadness or your disappointment because you don't have one. That's what you're feeling. So the borrowing of joy is to look towards situations where you actually know that joy. You know it. Because you love it. And then you think upon another being who's experiencing that too, just like you. It's never ending. So here's why mudita is so important that we cultivate this. Maybe mudita should be the honorary black people conversation. Because I know a lot of angry black people, but I know way more playful black people. And for all the difficulty we have in life, being in America, being in countries where there's so much racism towards brown skin, which I don't really understand, but okay, that's a whole nother Dhamma talk. There is, at the same time, a lot of joy. Joy in our music, joy in the way we get together, just the whole gamut of it, there's so much joy. And it's, I don't know that we, as a people, knew that this would work out good, but it definitely has, over the years, supported our resilience and our capacity to be in situations that are difficult. It's the joy that enables us to do that. It's not somehow we have super duper power to just take all the Dhamma, I mean all the dukkha. It's not that. It is having a level of joy because joy lifts the spirits. It's like if you want to lift a 50-pound weight and you have my muscles, you're not lifting it. You can struggle with it, but you can yank on it. But I don't know that much lifting is going to be happening. But if I look at my son's muscles, there's no problem on the lifting. If I had a 50-pound bag there and said, can you move that? He would be like, okay. Because he has muscles. He's worked out. His body has the capacity to bear the load of whatever that 50-pound weight is. This is what I think mudita does for us. It creates a level of lightness that allows us to bear the load of dukkha. And we can't bear the load of dukkha if we haven't built a container that allows us to be lighter in that way. So in fact, it does the opposite. It lightens the load rather than making it heavier. That's why we practice mudita. To learn how to lighten our hearts so we can bear this load of dukkha. And in the world right now, there is a lot of dukkha. A lot of it has nothing to do with us. Some of it might be our own purification that we have to come to blamelessness with. But the vast majority of the dukkha that we experience is the nature of the world we're all carrying. So if we share the joy that we are all carrying, then it lightens the load that we all bear. And we can carry it for as long as we need to carry it. That's what mudita is. It's very important. It is not this kind of, oh, I'm so happy that you got your thing, that you something good happened to you. Nothing good happens to me, so but I'm happy for you. It's not that. It's not that. It's actually the joy that you feel laughing about hearing that. It's that. It lightens. So we're going to do a little practice here with mudita. But I want to tell you a couple of more things about it before we move into practice. Tonight in the chanting, you know, I rewrote the metta chant so I could do all the Brahma Viharas. And so we'll do the joy chant tonight. But let's talk a little bit about mudita in relation to beings. Specific beings, right? Because what I'm talking about is more of the radiating way of being with mudita. If you just think about all the beings who are asking someone to marry them, or all the beings who are looking over their garden and they love it. They have figured out the rose and the plants and they love it, and that joy. You think about that, that's more of this radiating quality where you feel into what's happening. But when we start connecting with individual people, what can happen with mudita is that we can get caught up in the story as if this person shouldn't even have so much joy because, you know, they're just mean. And, you know, it's almost like we begin to judge who should have joy and who should not have joy. Or we get caught in family members when we're trying to send or connect with the joy and they're having a miserable time and it's like, oh, they don't have any joy. They don't have any joy. So for me, metta practice, especially when you're using the phrases to connect with a being or an individual person, it is not for them. It is for you. So if I have a family member that I really want to send joy to uplift their spirits, I want to send them joy, then I will connect with joy on with some being that loves love just like me. And then once I feel joy, I will send it to them. Just energetically send it to them. But if I can't seem to trust that lineage that they're going to get joy, I don't even think of them. I don't even use mudita practice towards people who I can't seem to find a way to support them in this uplift. It's I don't know. It might be just me. I might be totally off on this, but if I think about my, you know, family member who's going through a really bad time, and I'm wanting to send them joy, but instead I just keep dwelling on their difficulties, what I'm sending them is entanglement into their difficulties. And so if I can't seem to stay out of their difficulty, that is not the being I send joy to. That joy is going to come their way because I'm building joy in my life. But when you're sitting in practice, and this is for mudita, then we are connecting with joy and sending and receiving joy in that way. So I think about people as a representative of that category that I actually can feel joy with in family, or I actually can feel joy in friends, or I actually can feel joy with a teacher. Sometimes I know that I am not in a joyous place with someone, but I will be able to send joy to them in the wish, this kind of earnest wish, that joy comes into their world from somewhere they are able to access joy. In those cases, I can send the joy, receive the joy. But it is, you know, I hear it both ways from teachers. Some teachers say you don't have to connect with the energy you're just sending. And some teachers say, oh, you got to feel the energy. I'm more of the latter. I feel like we need to feel this joy. And so even over the course of our practice, if there comes a point when this begins to feel dry, then think on the people who are experiencing the joy that you actually like and regenerate that energy again. It's sort of like this is our opportunity to lighten the load of what it is that we all bear. And every single person we all have to bear some great difficulties. If you ever, and this is forever, ever miss, you just can't find the joy. You just think about me, because I have plenty. And I'm like, it's never going to end. It's plenty, plenty, plenty. Don't worry about it. And then you can access it. And then once you access it, then you can kind of hold it there and send it, send it, send it. That's what we're practicing with. And I truly hope you step into that vortex of joy so that you feel it forevermore and it doesn't leave you. It makes for a difficult time like this much easier to bear. So let's see if we can sit a little bit and try a little bit of this. So first you got to get your joy. You got to think on something, some experience that is joyous for you. It could be what it feels like when you write, when you paint. It could be a really good movie and what it feels like when you're together with friends, eating, watching a good movie, having a good time. It could be playing with your pet. It could be anything. It could be the love of pets or the love of plants. Walking in nature, going on a hike. Just think about that thing, the thing that you do or the experience you have that really uplifts you. And just think about someone who is experiencing that exact same thing. And they are as happy as you would be. You can also think of a person. So I think of my granddaughter. She is probably one of the most joyous little beings ever. And every time I look at her, she's always so happy. We have a little card that we pick how she's feeling so she can tell me. And Winnie the Pooh is calm and Eeyore is sad. Tigger is happy and Rabbit is angry. So she's always picking Tigger all the time. You see that feeling you have there? That's what I'm talking about. It's so accessible if we just think on, use this kind of directed thought to think of something joyous. And then we're going to think about a teacher or a mentor, someone we really, really care about. You know, and maybe a moment when we felt them laughing, felt them in an upbeat kind of way, some moment in time, so we can see their laughter. The phrases I use is, I'm glad for your good fortune. I feel your joy. May it grow forevermore. May you stay joyful. Very simple, but I'm feeling into this person, seeing their laughter, and just sitting here, taking a moment to share in this moment of joy. Glad for your good fortune. I feel your joy. May it grow forevermore. May you stay joyful. I believe when we connect with beings in this way, this earnest way, in metta practice, that we really are connected. They don't actually have to be in front of us physically for us to be connected. So when I say I'm glad for your good fortune, I mean that. I feel your joy. I can tell and remember their laughter, their smiling face, this upbeat. And may it grow forevermore. I just hope they're always joyous, always. They may not be always joyous, but I wish they would be. So let's just take a moment to think on a teacher or special mentor and connect with them in a joyous place. You have a mask on, so even if you sit here smiling the whole time, it's totally okay. No one knows. And when you're ready, we can bring to mind some good friend or family member and we can send them the mudita. If for some reason you lose it, then think on some being doing something that you are so happy for them, to remind you what it feels like to be very happy and joyous, feeling good fortune, borrowing someone else's good fortune for yourself, and then you share it with someone that's a close friend or family member. I'm glad for your good fortune. I feel your joy. May it grow forevermore. May you stay joyful. I'm glad for your good fortune. I feel your joy. May it grow forevermore. May you stay joyful. So you can stay with family members and friends. You can always stay with the people that it's easy to find joy with, or even easy to wish joy upon them. But if you're up for it, you can think of someone who's neutral. Could be someone on staff here that you see, but you don't have a big relationship with them, but you kind of know them. Could be somebody in your could be someone in your life, like someone that's at the bank or the grocery store, that you see them all the time, or the bus driver, or whatever, postman, postwoman, whatever, some being that is in your life. And sometimes when I'm sending joy rather than actually feeling it from them, I just send them good fortune. May you have good fortune in your life. May you feel joy, and may it grow forevermore. May you stay joyful. You can send it to them. May you have good fortune in your life. May you feel joy. May it grow forevermore. May you stay joyful. I once was on a retreat at Spirit Rock, and I was walking along the road, that highway, and this car pulls up in front of me, and this guy jumps out. I don't even know who he is. He's running towards me, and I was like, really caught off guard, like, what does he want? And he's pointing at me. But it turns out he was pointing behind me to turn around and look at this rainbow that was intertwined with the sun. It was, I'd never seen a rainbow like that before in my life. It was like a circular rainbow that had like three or four kind of rings with in a or a, surrounding us as the sun. And we just stood there, he and I, in this awe and amazement at what we were looking at. So when I think about a neutral person, that's who I think about. I'm so glad for our good fortune to see that. It was behind me. And I feel your joy. May it grow forevermore. May you stay joyful. So you may know some stranger that you happen to be in a moment in time where there was laughter and joy. So we know what joy feels like in that moment. And we hope that person stays with that joy forever. I could see his face. He was so happy. I'm glad for our good fortune. I feel your joy. May it grow forevermore. May you stay joyful. Now, I hope you've been feeling some joy. I can hear those birds out there. They are really talking it up. I almost want to send them mudita. Like, I can feel your joy. They are just really talking it up. So there's a way in which we can feel joy. Even this limited time we've been together. And we want to appreciate that we can feel joy no matter what. It's fortunate that we can feel this joy. And so before we move on, we take a moment to acknowledge that we're glad for our good fortune. I feel my joy. May it grow and grow forevermore. May I stay joyful. No matter what is happening, it doesn't mean that joy is not present here. So I'm glad that I have the good fortune of knowing joy is present. I feel my joy, and may it grow forevermore. May I stay joyful. So I know we're moving through these pretty quick, and you might want to try during an entire sit by yourself. But I think all this joy, practicing of connecting with joy, is to get us to a difficult person. Someone that kind of grates on us. Doesn't have to be someone that has done us great harm, but just someone that it's difficult. Maybe they complain a lot or they're irritable a lot. Maybe the difficult person is ourselves. But that's where we're going to send this joy that we've been building up. So it's a wish that you have good fortune. A wish that you feel joy. A wish that it grows forevermore. And a wish that you stay joyful. A wish that I have good fortune. A wish that I feel joy. A wish that it grows forevermore. And a wish that I stay joyful. It's so easy to wish joy into being when you've taken some time to feel it. And when you feel it, no matter how small it is, you feel it, especially when you feel it because you're thinking of the joy of another person. You're borrowing someone else's joy. Then it's easier to really want everyone in the world to feel this. Everyone. If we could begin to feel joy, we could take on some of these great difficult problems that we have to deal with living together. We begin to realize that we can't actually feel joy without other beings. We need other people to help us feel joy. We need their laughter, their smiling faces, their upbeat energy. To help us remember to access ours. And then when we access ours, we then share that mudita with other people so they can access theirs. In this way, we want even the difficult, the people we have difficulty with, we want them to feel this joy also. Because we know that the more joyous the world gets, the less volatile, the less harmful, the less mean we are. So we're going to send joy to one last being. I call it sending, but really we're just going to feel the joy in this room, this sangha. I don't know if you've noticed the animals around here. They're so patient and easy with us. They're comfortable. There's a level of contentment, and I call that contentment joy also. So just this whole space of being in this place, being with each other, being here now in this practice, feeling this joy bouncing off of each other. We can be glad for our good fortune. Our good fortune to be here right now. We can feel the joy of this moment. It doesn't matter if it's gone in the next moment. We can feel the joy of this moment. And wish that it grows forevermore. May we stay joyful. I'm glad for our good fortune. I feel our joy. May it grow forevermore. May we stay joyful. Glad for our good fortune. I feel our joy. May it grow forevermore. May we stay joyful.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org. www.thepetshelp.org/donate.